And my studio guest this hour is Helen Snape, and Helen is a healthy relationships coach and author. Morning, Helen.
Morning.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us in the studio.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
I love the fact when that was playing, you know, you're dancing around the studio to it in your chair. It's brilliant. Love that.
I love ABBA. I grew up with ABBA, and I was always dancing around the living room to ABBA growing up.
Oh, there you go. Bring many happy memories then when you hear that.
Yes.
Brilliant. Well, we're going to talk a bit about your book, which is, I believe, the launch is coming up actually soon. Next weekend, is it?
It is. It's next Saturday.
Oh, at the Lion's Heart Bookshop in Woking, which we're going to talk about as well later. But a book, Drop the Fake Smile, and you talk about the cure for the disease to please. So tell me more about that. What is a disease to please?
So you probably heard people talk about people pleasers.
Yeah.
Really what we mean by that is people that have this urge or this drive to make other people happy, which could be lovely, except that it's often at their own expense.
Yeah.
So it's at the expense of their own needs and wants.
Okay, so you sort of go along with what do you think somebody might want, so that sort of thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you don't disagree with anyone.
Yeah.
You pretend that everything's fine when maybe it isn't, and you agree to do things, and then maybe you later regret it.
Yeah, you want to please everyone. You don't want to say no. This is the importance of that word no, isn't it?
Mm.
Just saying no and taking time for yourself, because, like, you know, you get all these people coming up to you, and I'm certainly very guilty of this. Oh, can you do this? And someone else, oh, would you mind just doing this? Would you mind just doing that for me? And before you know it, you're overwhelmed, aren't you?
Oh God, yeah. It's absolutely. You agree to do things because you want to be helpful.
Yep.
And then you suddenly find that actually you can't fit everything in, and then you're stressed about that.
Yep.
And then you end up having to renege on some commitments.
Yep.
You end up feeling guilty and resentful, and then other people wonder if they can trust you. And you know what you'd intended to be, you know, a nice thing that you're helping lots of other people, it just all kinds of comes crashing down.
Yeah, and you get very overwhelmed, and that can lead to all sorts of sort of, you know, issues coming from that, I'd imagine.
Yeah, you can end up feeling exhausted, you can end up getting ill. For me, you know, I ended up burning out at work because I just kept saying yes to everything and not taking the breaks because I wanted to impress and I wanted to be helpful. But, you know, eventually you can't do that forever.
No, exactly. It's not sustainable. So your experiences, and you mentioned sort of work, was that the sort of the main area for you that was the issue?
It affected every area of my life. So it was definitely work, but it was also in my personal life as well. So I was in a marriage where I thought it was my responsibility to make my husband happy. And, you know, that's never going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but I tried harder and harder to make it work, and it just kept not working.
Yeah. And the more you tried, the worse it got, yeah?
The worse it got. And I ended up at the point of, you know, I'm just like, I just can't cope anymore. Like, I can't do this anymore. Yeah.
Okay. So what was it that kind of made you get to that point thinking, oh, you know, something needs to change? What was the final straw for you on that?
The final straw was actually my mother got diagnosed with an incurable cancer. And I think that was my wake up call.
Mm.
You know, I really realized at that point that, you know, life is short, life is precious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what am I doing with mine? You know, why am I chasing after what other people want all the time? Like, actually, like, I want to make a difference in this world, and maybe actually I deserve something better.
Yeah. Okay. So what happened from that point? What changes kind of came in? What did you do?
Wow. Well, the first thing actually that I did was go and see a therapist, because I kind of felt like I was going a bit crazy and I couldn't cope. And I was just like, I just don't know how to do life anymore, because, you know, I thought it was my responsibility to make everyone else happy. And it turns out, actually, that's not the case. But then I didn't know how to do life. So it started off there.
It's a bit of a catch-22 then, isn't it?
You know, yeah. Just,
wow. So you realise that changes need to be made. And we're going to talk a bit more shortly about, you know, what happened next and how you came to do what you do now and write this fantastic book to help other people. But we're going to play a song of your choosing, which is Taylor Swift and Me. So why would you choose that one?
It's a celebration of how each of us is unique and wonderful, and we don't have to be like anyone else.
Let's have a listen to this one. This is a great song. I love Taylor Swift. I remember that song. There's that clip of him, you know, sitting on a chair, I think at a tennis match or something, and the seat fell off, and he got up and he goes, "I'm still standing." That's brilliant. Elton John and "I'm Still Standing." Why do you like Elton John then?
Oh, well, it does take me back again to my childhood, but that particular song, you know, it says it, doesn't it? It's like, I think we all go through a lot of stuff, and sometimes we don't feel very strong afterwards, but it's like, you're still here, you're still going, you're still standing.
It's a bit of a positive message when you listen to, when you listen to the lyrics, you know. I think we can take a lot from these sort of songs, can't we?
Yeah.
Absolutely. So we're talking a bit about sort of your journey and your personal experiences of being a people pleaser, and I think a lot of people, and I think I include myself in this, you know, you don't want conflict, so, you know, somebody says, oh, do this, do that, or you know, you kind of go along with it just to for a quiet life sometimes. And is that, would you relate to that?
Yeah, it's like the turtle approach to mm-hmm. conflict. You just kind of hide your head and hope that it will go away, but of course it doesn't. It stores up problems in the longer term.
And the thing I found as well, it's like, you know, somebody says something that upsets you and you just kind of, you don't want to address it, you just go quiet, and it kind of builds up in your mind and it's goes into something completely kind of unmanageable sometimes. So it's it's kind of nipping things in the bud a little bit. And
yeah, because if you don't say anything, then how is the other person going to know that maybe they've said something that's upset you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And probably unintentionally as well. Probably a throwaway comment that they didn't even realise upset you. So so you realised that something was wrong, something to change. You decided to make those changes. Mm. And you left the 9 to 5. So what was that like? What hand did you notice in? And
I was working in human resources, and the opportunity came up for me to take redundancy. So at that point, I was thinking about becoming a coach, and it just seemed like the right time. So I went and trained, got my diploma in transformational coaching with a view to becoming a career coach. But, you know, I realized that if I'm going to be doing this, I need to be doing it about something that I'm really passionate about.
Yeah.
And I realized it's going to be helping other people that also are suffering from this disease to please and need some help in getting out of it.
So what was that process like? You know, you obviously, you know, did the further education courses you need to do to kind of get you to that stage, university degrees and everything. But then actually setting up your own coaching business. I mean, what was that process like for you?
Kind of terrifying.
You're the boss. There's no one to please, is there, really?
No. Well, for a start, you know, you're going from a very structured work environment, 9 to 5 day, and then suddenly it's like, well, you know, your time is your own. Mm-hmm. That's a huge adjustment. But then it's also, you know, you've got to put yourself out there. And as somebody that, you know, as a recovering people pleaser, it's very scary because you're used to, you know, keeping quiet, keeping small. Whereas, you know, with your own business, you've got to be able to say, actually, hey, this is what I do. Okay.
And that didn't come natural to you then at all?
God, no. It's been part of, I guess, my growth as a person and part of this letting go of these people pleasing patterns to be able to say, actually, like, this is me, this is who I am, this is what I do.
Do you ever find yourself slipping back into those sort of people pleasing patterns?
Absolutely.
I suppose you notice it quite early on, I suppose, if that happens to you, or
I notice it more quickly than I used to. So it used to be that I would notice that I've done something people pleasing, but I'd maybe not notice until the day after, and then I'd be like, oh my God, I've done it again. Whereas now I'm much more likely to notice in real time, and I've learned to insert a pause, like just to pause, take a deep breath, and really think about, what do I want my response to be? You know, rather than just giving that automatic yes.
Yeah.
But pausing, like, actually, how do I want to respond? Okay. Yeah.
Because you do get that automatic response, you know, oh, would you mind doing that? Yeah, of course, no problem. It's quite automatic, isn't it? Like, sort of a reflex reaction. Okay. And do you notice in other people, if you're out with friends and you're seeing, you know, a bit of people pleasing going on amongst your circle of friends or people around you, do you kind of pick up on that, and do you react to that?
Well, I think it's about it's about being kind, isn't it?
Yeah, yes.
Everyone is like on their own journey. You know, I as I say, like, I didn't know what I was doing until I kind of woke up to it. You know, I just did life how I thought mm-hmm. I needed to do it. I mean, when I see it in other people, I might just like very kindly, like very gently yeah. challenge them a little bit. So for example, you know, if I'm talking with a friend and we're going to go out to eat, then, you know, typical people pleasing response, you know, if I said, well, where do you want to go out to eat? Then they would say, oh, well, I don't mind. Where do you want to go out to eat?
Throw it back, bat it back to you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just like, actually, like, no, you make the choice. Mm. Like, you can yeah. make the choice. Yeah.
Do you know what? Thinking about that, I'm that sort of person. Where do you want to go for dinner tonight? Don't know. Where do you want to go? Yeah, literally. I'm very guilty of that, I think, myself. very much relate to that. Okay, so you wrote your book, which we mentioned, the launch coming up for that, Drop the Fake Smile. So, I mean, how did that come about? How did the book come about?
Oh, well, I've learned so much. It's sort of over the last 8 years of, you know, recovering from people-pleasing patterns. And I felt like this is the book that I needed to read back mm-hmm. then, but it didn't exist.
Yeah.
And I felt like, well, if I needed it, then other people probably need it too. So I'm going to write it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it your first book?
It's my first, like, if you like, proper book, proper yeah. published book. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow,
so exciting. Yeah.
So tell us about the book then. What can we find in there, and how can you help us?
Yeah. So the subtitle is, it's The Recovering People Pleaser's Guide to Self-Love, Boundaries and Healthy Relationships, mm-hmm. which kind of tells you what you're going to find in it.
Okay.
But it's essentially, it's a mixture of some personal stories from me about my experiences. There's guidance for how to recover from people-pleasing patterns, but then there's also exercises at the end of each chapter mm-hmm. to help readers implement what they're learning.
Okay, yeah. So exercises you can try out and put it into practice then.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
Love that. I think this is something that a lot of people listening this morning may be sort of nodding their head in agreement at the radio, thinking, yeah, this is so them. You know, a lot of people may be people-pleasing, not even realising they're doing it.
Yeah, I think this is it. You know, you don't know that you're doing it until somebody maybe points it out yeah. in a kind way.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I'm not sure how I feel about pointing that out to somebody. That's quite a tricky one, isn't
it? You know, it could just be like, well, you know, maybe you're a bit too nice for your yep. own good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's how you have those conversations, isn't it?
Really? Absolutely. Yeah. And and ultimately, you're just trying to help people, which is what you're doing with you know, the work you do and the book. We're going to talk some more then, and talk a bit about the launch coming up as well. We've got some travel on the way, but first, let's catch up with the latest sport. The Imagine Dragons are on top of the world, and Helen, when you actually asked for the Imagine Dragons, I wasn't familiar with them, but I have heard that song before.
Yeah, yes. they're often used in like in films and TV. Yeah, I yes. love Imagine Dragons.
Very good, nice upbeat music. I'm liking your taste in music actually here. Yeah, so we're talking a bit about you and your journey, and now you're helping other people, you know, through coaching. So what's involved with that? What do you do with that?
Yeah, so I work with people one-to-one in group programs and run some workshops as well, and it's mainly around building people's self-confidence mm-hmm. and also helping them to identify their boundaries, to communicate them and to hold on to them.
Yes.
And it's really it's going beyond something like, say, assertiveness training, because I remember going on assertiveness training and it kind of helps a bit. it tells you like things to say in particular situations, yeah. but it maybe doesn't go deep enough.
No.
Which is where I think the boundaries work yeah. comes in.
Boundaries is a word that comes up time and time again in so many different ways of life. I mean, particularly, I suppose, out of lockdown, some people still working from home, as I do a lot. And I find that, you know, separating home life and work life, you know, finding those boundaries, that's quite an area I struggle with, because it's so easy to sit in front of a laptop and get thrown into your work and still be there at 10 o'clock at night, you know.
Yeah, so, you know, that speaks to time boundaries.
Yes.
Like, when is it that you need to actually stop working mm-hmm. and how do you do that?
Yeah. That's so hard, because obviously you're working from home, you're working in the same place that you live, so it all blends into one. I know some people, actually, I was speaking to someone, they said that, you know, if they're working from home, they leave the house in the morning, go for a 10-minute walk at 9, just before 9, come back, go to work, and then they go out and come back again at the end of the day. So walk each day. That's quite a good way of doing it.
That's a lovely way of doing it, actually.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. Okay. So boundaries is definitely something that a lot of people, I think, need to work on. A lot of people struggle with, and are you finding that people just don't really get how to do boundaries, or they struggle and have to do it?
Yeah, or they haven't even come across the term before, you know, because it's a bit of an intangible thing, you know. Like, so for people that aren't familiar with them, it's, if you imagine like the borders of a country, well, boundaries are your borders, except that they're invisible. Yeah. And they are things like, you know, how you spend your time, your physical boundaries, like who is it okay for people to hug you or let into your personal space? Yeah. But then there are things like emotional boundaries, you know, not taking on other people's feelings, and your mental boundaries. So being able to hold on to your own opinions when other people disagree with you.
Yeah, and feeling confident to challenge people as well. I mean, that's definitely something. Yeah. All this sort of comes out, I guess, in your, you know, in the sessions that you run. And how are people sort of, you know, what sort of feedback have you had, you know, after your sessions? How are people sort of finding them?
Yeah, they find that they are more able to speak up for themselves and actually for other people too. That they have a greater ability to achieve what they actually want to achieve in life, because they have greater self-confidence, and also that they're able to develop healthier relationships.
Yep, exactly. And people in their lives for the right reasons as well. People that actually bring value rather than people that are just there because, oh, they can try British chops, they can do this for me. As you say, this is the book that you needed, that wasn't available at the time. You've written it, you found that sort of gap in the market, and the launch is happening this Saturday at the Lionhearts Bookshop. I love the idea of a Lionheart Bookshop. This is in Woking Town Centre, and that has become a real hub for local authors, hasn't it?
It has, yeah. They have a book club, they have a writers club, and it's a lovely sort of community hub, as well as being a bookshop and a cafe.
Yeah, perfect. I've walked past that a number of times. It's really good. So what's happening for the launch of your book then on Saturday?
Yeah, so on Saturday 9th of September, between 2 and 5 p.m., I will be there. Come and say hi. Come and chat to me about the book. Come and buy a copy and I'll sign it for you as well. Yeah.
Brilliant. So that's between 2 and 5, Lionhearts Bookshop. And how do we find out more about you and get hold of a book online, maybe?
Yeah, so the easiest way to find me online is just to look for helensnape.com. Mm-hmm. The book is available from all good places that books are sold. obviously, it will also be available at the Lion's Heart Bookshop.
Absolutely, yeah, brilliant resource, Lionhearts Bookshop. There's so many authors we hear that are sort of connected to that, and like I say, a real hub for the community. Well, Helen, it's been really interesting to talk to you and really interesting to hear about your journey and how, through your experiences, you're helping other people. And I think, you know, this is something that a lot of people are going to benefit from. So, you know, it's brilliant what you're doing.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, lovely to speak to you, and we'll keep in touch.
Definitely.
Brilliant. Thank you. There you go. There is our guest in the studio, Helen Snape. And the book, Drop the Fake Smile, is available now. That launch taking place next Saturday at Lionhearts Bookshop in Woking.